Hey, Daniel.
Cheers, Jonathan. Cheers.
I still don't improve in my Polish, but anyway.
No, so you're today... failing. I'm tasting
yeah, I see that. So today we are meeting Jeremy Kriegel, who is a UX lead at MIT and Harvard, and he's going to tell us about his experience being a designer and leading design teams.
Yeah, and what I really found interesting about Jeremy, and selfishly so, I actually led the conversation down the whole Agile route. And I think it's super important because if you don't know Agile or Scrum or any of the related methodologies, it's really important to understand the role of the UX designer within Agile. Mm-hmm. We spoke about how you succeed as a team and the role of the UX designer within that team. We spoke a little bit about the importance or non-importance of certification. Something that I really found interesting is a few comments around usability testing. And then also we had a huge laugh, basically, Jonathan, you at us because of our design tools, right? A bit of a chuckle giving our age away. And then, of course, we couldn't resist but talk a little bit about Jeremy's awesome mustache.
So without further ado, please welcome Jeremy Kriegel.
Jeremy Kriegel.
Hello.
Finally tracked you down, right? Not hard to spot with the awesome moustache, by the way.
Yeah. Ah, thank
Much
you.
Much respect. But we need to. We'll talk about the moustache at the end of it. But first, Jeremy, if you can maybe talk us through a little bit about your background.
Sure.
And maybe a few high points. And
Yeah. So background, I'll try to keep it brief, but I have been in the UX field, discipline, I don't know, whatever you call it, for about 20 years now, which is a little bit hard to fathom. But it started basically as an undergrad in the, mid-90s. I started a web design company when that was kind of a new thing and ran that as an undergrad and then kind of decided that I had no idea what I was doing. It was just kind of running with the seat of my pants and kind of making up as I went along, which I think most people were actually doing back at that time.
Yeah.
And then ended up taking a job with Xerox. And there I was working with some really experienced people who'd been designing interfaces since like punch cards. And I learned how to do usability testing. And we had a huge lab that I could learn in. And so that was like, I look at my 2 years at Xerox as kind of like my master's degree. And then from there on, it was everything from global consulting firms to small consulting firms, in-house on product teams, consultant, independent consultant, startups, big companies, and just about every industry from financial services, healthcare, online gaming, consumer goods. So I've been in a lot of different environments, and I think probably one of the big influences is how UX and agility have evolved together.
Yeah,
I think I worked with my first Agile team around 2007, and I was kind of hooked because I'd always thought about that you have to design your process as much as you design your product, because you never had that sort of ideal state that they describe in textbooks on how a project goes. You could never do it. It always felt like, oh man, I wish I could do all the stuff, but I can't. So how, given the constraints that you have, how do you create the right process that fits your needs? And I thought that Agile says, no, that's the right way to go. You create the exact process that meets your needs right now.
Yeah.
So that's been that was a huge influence in how to UX and agility work together.
So, I mean, there's a lot to say about Agile and UX. Do you feel that people are getting it spot on?
So I don't know that there is a spot on.
Yeah.
I think that, so I like to deal with reality. And so what I want to do is I look at the organization that I'm working with and say, well, what problem are they having that I can help solve? And how can I help them solve it and move towards being more efficient, effective, et cetera? So I don't think of sort of an ideal way to do design. I think about how can I help move this team and this product forward? Do I like doing lots of user research? Love it.
Yeah.
Do I get the opportunity to do a lot of that before the engineering train starts running?
Yeah.
No, usually that train is going and I got to get in front of it and do the best I can to help iterate. I think that the challenges of integration go beyond just how does UX integrate with Agile when there's still so many development and product teams that haven't figured out how to be Agile.
Yeah.
So when they're still figuring it out, it's hard to take this other discipline that hasn't been as much a part of that process and integrate it. So it's an ongoing challenge. But I think the more flexible that we can be as practitioners to say, how do I serve my team at the same time as I've served my customers, then I think we'll start doing the best we can given the situation we have. One piece of advice that I give, which I think is a little counter to how we tend to think about design, is when you're new, serve your team first and then serve your customer. Because if you build up that trust and camaraderie with your team and you help them get better, then they will trust you when you want to do other things and incorporate more UX into the process. But when you kind of come in and say, hey, I got my thing that I want to do, and we've got our own thing we want to do and we don't have room for your thing. So then you're at lot, you're butting heads instead of working together productively. So like because I have a lot of agile experience, I often go in and start helping a team improve their agility before I start worrying about what are we going to do design-wise. Because if the team can't deliver, doesn't matter what I design.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to go live anytime soon. So it's in my best interest to be working with a really effective, efficient team that's really humming. And then when I get to the design work, one, we have a great relationship, we have trust, we have collaboration, and the work's going to get out in the world.
So what are the tools, I mean the social or practical tools that you use to design your design team, basically?
So I loved what Ali said, and I've said it along, and I'm so great to hear someone with like her with her platform say it as well. It's like using your user research skills to understand your team, like to understand what they need. Because then again, you can serve them and it's like, how can I help them? And one thing that I found, again, because of my experience, is I often help with retrospectives. It's a non-technical part of the process. And because I have a lot of facilitation expertise that a lot of people don't have, or they don't want to do it. So I can help retrospectives be great. And if you do great retrospectives, other things start improving. And then they know that I'm helping them improve. Yeah. And so I'm, again, building up that relationship.
That's an interesting point. So getting involved in other parts of the agile process outside of just design. But you're applying user research on your own team using their language.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes our design language is... It's like, they're like, what the hell is this guy on about? You know, like you're not speaking in their language. And then using some of your skills like facilitation, getting back into the retrospectives. That's a really interesting thought. I'm gonna steal that one.
Yeah. So one of my favorite books from last year was called Extreme Ownership. And it was written by two former Navy SEALs. And one thing they talk about is how, you know, it's like you succeed or fail as a team. So be willing to step outside, you know, your expertise to help the team move forward. So yeah, I could say, well, I'm a UX guy. The Scrum rituals are not part of my job description. I don't get compensated or reviewed based on that. But if I think about my role as helping the team succeed, and that's the most important thing that I can help with, then maybe that's what I should do first.
That's so interesting, because the book I'm reading right now about that taught me the most about how to negotiate and ask questions was written by the ex-head of the Austin's negotiation for the FBI. And the book is called Never Split the Difference. And what he's explaining is that when you do Austin negotiation, you don't ask for, you know, half an hostage, we good. And what you're telling relates to that a lot. The fact that those people have been doing those kind of building relationship skills, building teams since way before us.
Yeah.
Okay, so I come from a environment where we really focus more on strategic experience design, and now my new team, they're agile. I've got Scrum Masters, I've got some very serious guys who are really good at running the team and running a tight ship, because we have global deliveries and stuff. For me, it was really difficult to, and still is a little bit, is to understand the agile language methodology, and also to slot myself into that process.
My guess is that you've got UX skills that you could probably deploy in different ways to help the team where they are.
Yeah.
I mean, even there's a lot of teams that I've joined in the past where, you know, I just look at their practice and say, wow, you guys are iterating in code over and over again, and this is just ineffective. Look, I can do wireframes, and we'll just start with that. Like, I can iterate wireframes faster than you can iterate code, and then you can focus on other things. And we've got the wireframes, I mean, not done, but like pretty close, you know, where the iterations are smaller. Then you can code it, because you won't have to rework it so much. And then they go, wow, that was really helpful. And then when, again, build up some trust. So then the next thing I want to agree, yeah, we don't understand our users very well. Maybe we should create some personas or do some usability testing. It's like, well, that last thing was useful. Maybe we can do this too. So I guess it goes back to what is the biggest problem this team has that I can help solve?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's something that your existing skill set can slot in there. Now, who knows? Maybe you would say, like, hey, I could be a great Scrum Master and the team needs it and I just want to go learn more about it, and a certification might be the fastest way to do it.
No, I haven't done the certification yet, but I started reading the methodologies and went through the manifesto.
Yeah.
There is important things that you need to understand, just to understand once again the language.
Yes.
Because if you speak to people who work all the time, it's very easy to say things and then have a misunderstanding. Because you know, the way that I think what a sprint is, it's not entirely right if you do not know how they observe it or
So then I think part of it is, and this is hard, it's sometimes hard for me too, is being humble enough to say, well, what do you mean by that? Are we talking about the same thing? When you say that, how do you define that? So that we can be using the same words to mean the same things.
Makes sense. And usability testing and Agile. Do you have tips around that? So in my example, I'm giving too much of my stuff, but what we have tried before is to have a sprint dedicated just to testing, to write testing. Is there an easier way to bring usability into the Agile?
And one of the things that I try is I don't do as much testing as I would like. And part of it is because I've tended to work for smaller organizations in more my Agile part of my career, is that the resources aren't there. So the testing tends to come in when I have identified a significant enough risk to justify to leadership the time and expense necessary to do a test. Because it often means I may have to step away from a sprint or more than a sprint to get my script and protocol together, do some recruiting, run the test, put my results together. That's time away from design work. So that's a trade-off, and they have to be convinced that there's value there. Now, where I found it worked the best, and unfortunately it was only over a short period of time, I had been doing a number of tests myself, but they were infrequent, but it was enough to start to convince leadership that there was a lot of value there. And so I made the argument, could we bring in someone to focus on this and do it more regularly? And I couldn't sell them on a full-time person, but I brought in a former colleague who was a consultant. I brought her in part-time. So then I was able to run tests more frequently because she could own and run with them, and I could focus on driving the design work forward. So, but it fits this a familiar pattern for me of start small, sell the value of what you do, and then grow it.
Yeah.
And I think that I was having a conversation at the event earlier with someone that when I'm introducing UX as a practice, I don't do everything I could do, because I feel like usually the people bring me in don't understand what the whole process would look like anyway. They're not going to make the time for it, so I'd be fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah.
And I need to make a little bit of time to sell the value of what I'm doing, to make sure the right people understand what I'm doing and understand how it's benefiting the company and the team, because that's the only way I'm going to get permission to do more. So you've got to carve out a little bit of that time for internal marketing.
Yeah, so you have to kind of jump into the trenches and get going.
UX, I think, is a sales job more than a design job, because you're not a developer, so you can't just code it, and you're not a stakeholder, so you can't just tell someone else to do it. You have to constantly sell your ideas to other people who will then be responsible for advocating them in the backlog or actually developing them.
I mean, there's a lot of conversations going around about the depth of a UX designer's skill sets. Do you think it's better to have a UX designer that maybe could do a little bit of front-end code? Should there be a UX designer and a UI person? Do you have any opinions around that?
So I have a bias,
and
my bias is my skill set. But I have worked with people who were, I guess what you'd say, a full stack designer from visual design, interaction design through front end development. I think those unicorns are hard to find because they make excellent independent consultants. So they're really hard to recruit. they're hard to find. So they're hard to bring into an organization because they can be their own team. I have written code in the past, but I don't write code. And my rationale is I will never be as good a developer as so many of the developers I work with. That's one. So I let them be great at what they're great at, and I try and be great what I'm great at. And the other thing is, I want to make sure that I'm focused on making people happy, and engineers have to be focused on making the machines happy. And when you start to confuse those things and start thinking too much about what it's going to take to make the machines happy, you start compromising your design about making the people happy.
Yeah.
So I think there's a sometimes a healthy tension between sort of a user-centered thinking and engineering-centered thinking.
When you design and you implement yourself, you're limited to your own skills. So you're going to design the things that you know how to implement. About that, what do you... There's a lot of talks right now in the design industry, on designer news and other forums, about the fact that no design tool right now is appropriate to what we do. In that, you take Sketch, you take Illustrator, you're creating a 2D plane.
Yeah.
So designers are going to give a 2D artifact to other people that are going basically to build the interactions with developers. And sometimes it's not going to be... I mean, how many times we had design jobs and you wanted the animation to do something and the coder, oh, good enough. And you went in production with that. What do you think of the new tools arriving on the market? Like, we have InVision Studio lately. We have Framer, who is making a lot of noise. You have Prototyper, all those tools that give you the possibility to create yourself the final vision of your implementation.
So my, as far as I go in design, is I tend to end at prototype, and I don't get into, I'm not a visual designer.
Okay.
And I'm probably a little behind, or maybe just a little older school, because I still love Axure, because I love the degree of interactivity that I can code into it without really having to write much code.
Yeah.
But if I want to demonstrate, well, this page changes in this way, in this state, I don't have to create four versions that I have to maintain. I can create one version with, you know, a dynamic panel that just changes the area that I care about and maintain that. And even just for design exploration, I love being able to just take a section of the page and create four versions of it to be able to put it in front of someone and just kind of just click through those four versions. And then whatever the final one is, just drag that version to the top. The others can stay in the prototype. It won't hurt anything. And so I guess very knowledgeable about it, and I haven't found another tool that gives me the level of depth and interactivity that I get with Axure. So I'm still kind of an Axure guy. Yeah.
That's good. I'm an OmniGraffle guy. That's a whole
man.
I used to do all my wireframe work in OmniGraffle. I got Axure in, and then I started moving more to strategy work. So my intention is still to get, because I still enjoy Axure. But most of my work was OmniGraffle.
Yeah, I had to switch back to OmniGraffle a number of years ago. I was working for an online gaming company, and I'm designing a poker table. And it's one thing when you're doing like web and mobile widgets, because the widgets are the same, right? You get a toolkit, you arrange the widgets. You're doing like a poker table. It's like everything is up for grabs. Like, how do I design the avatars and like the overlays and the table and the cards and the chip? Like, and again, I was still doing it sort of at a wireframe level, but I still had to kind of do a lot more digital drawing that I actually can't do. But OmniGraffle was really great for.
See, people are still using it, dude.
I used Axure.
I know, as soon as I said that, people are like, yeah, he's old. Okay. Done.
Well, I mean, even my team in South Africa used Axure a lot. Yeah. So, I mean, it's still there, but there's like these ways. But also, I think we shouldn't get blinded by tools, right? Because, I mean, in theory, a UX designer can do the same work with a paper and a pencil.
There are so many things happening in our toolkit right now that it's, for me, who is younger than you guys, I'm like, where should I invest my time? See what I mean? Should I try to get like master of that tool or that tool, because that's what is wanted on CVs, to have jobs and interviews? Or should I just focus on actual my people skills and try to understand the user?
I think if you're in UX, I would go with the people skills and the storytelling. Because even from a prototyping perspective, wireframes, whatever, I think you want to do the least amount of work necessary to move the project forward. So if you can do it on a whiteboard and take a picture of it and send that out to the developers and designers, that's enough, and you don't have to prototype anything.
Exactly.
I think that the more complex the tools, and I've certainly gone down the rat hole myself, you can run the risk of overdoing it. And I realized that once. I was like, I'm creating debugging widgets for my Axure prototype. I've gone too far.
That's brilliant. Awesome. And Jeremy, I think we need to wrap this up. But the thing is, let's talk about the moustache, right? You have the best moustache at the event. Are you going to go back to the full handlebar?
Yeah, I think that the handlebar is going to make a comeback because even the wife is okay with the handlebars.
Okay, yeah. Jeremy, thanks for spending a little bit of time with us, and also apologies for the mess, because we tried to set up and we're standing next to a coffee machine at the moment and music started playing. But super interesting chatting to you, but also thanks for coming to Poland and sharing your ideas.
Yeah, love being
here. Please come back.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Thanks.
Thank you.